Well, to our folks who are gathering with us on the internet and Facebook, welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. And we're just glad to have you here. We're glad to have our visitors here with us today in-house as well. And we're going to continue on in our sermon series that we've been doing on 1 Peter chapter 1. This is part 3 of a 5-part series. And the series is entitled Living Hope. And today's subtitle is The Mystery Revealed. The Mystery Revealed. We have a living hope that the Lord God has given us through His Son. And that living hope was something that was sought by the forefathers before us through the prophets. And today we're going to attend to some of that. So if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're only going to look at 3 verses today. 3 verses. Isn't that amazing that a pastor can talk on 3 verses for at least 35 minutes? Y'all know me. I was told by the guys, hey, we're leaving for the mountains today. Pastor, land this thing early. And I looked at the person who said that to me and I said, do you know who you're talking to? Anyhow. From verse 10 through 12, thus saith the word of the Lord. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Now, that seems strange for some of us probably that a pastor would pick those 3 verses to preach from. But the reality is I have to stop with those 3. There is so much there because in this, what is happening is we are being told that the mystery of the Old Testament, the mystery of God, that they could not quite understand, but yet was prophesied through the prophets throughout the past, has been revealed to us. As we look at it, but it doesn't say anything there about this mystery. It doesn't say anything. No, it speaks of this salvation. Please understand, the people in the Old Testament knew that there was a salvation coming unto the world that was outside of the law, that encompassed all people. And this is where the prophets of old looked, because they understood there were 3 things. There was a mystery. This salvation, this mystery that was to come, was to be a salvation to all peoples. And this salvation would be through a Messiah. 3 things. And we're going to look at those 3 things today because that's what these 3 verses speak of, is this mystery revealed. So if you would, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. You see, we've got to go all the way back to the beginning. The book of Genesis in chapter 49. It is actually before this. These are just simply the scriptures that I chose today because you have to choose scriptures. I mean, you can't just, otherwise we would be through the whole Bible on this because the prophecies of the Bible are huge. So I chose Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. And it speaks of this thing that is to come into the future. And I wanted to get us back. I wanted to get us at the beginning. And it says to us here in chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from beneath his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. We need to understand just that one verse speaks, and depending on how you read that in other texts, it says all nations. It's instead of saying peoples, it says all nations. So you see, the prophets of old understood that this was for everybody, not just Israel, and that this person, this thing, this mystery that was to be revealed was going to come through the line of Judah, which is David. And it's understanding that they longed to look into these things. They waited for that day. They had the law, which brought condemnation, because it was all but impossible to live by the law, because all it did was show our sin, and they had to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. Could you imagine if we still had that sacrificial system happening today? There would be no cattle left on earth. There would be no sheep left on earth. There would be no pigeons left on earth. I know a lot of places that would be happy with that one. But my point is, the amount of sin that has gone up, the amount of sacrifice that would have to have gone up, the earth would be darkened with the cloud of smoke that would have to be. And God said, it can't be. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's back up. Because you see, folks, these people didn't know that. But they knew something was coming. And they lived their lives under the law as best they could to give us the hope of the things that were to come. You see, most people in the New Testament church, we're a New Testament church, right? No, we're a church. All right? We hold to the Old Testament and the New Testament. What is the Old Testament? I think it's funny. The Old Testament is the love letter of God to his people. How many of you have ever read the Old Testament in that manner? The Old Testament shows us the long-suffering of God, shows us the direction of God, the hope of God toward his people, and that he is willing to be there as long as it takes to get us where we need to go. How many of you need a little bit more time? Aren't we glad that God is the keeper of time? We are kept by time. That's why we put clocks on walls and wear them on our wrists and have them on our cell phones. Because we are kept by time. God keeps time. And in that time, he showed a mystery that was to be revealed. A mystery that couldn't be understood until the fullness of time had come. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Because again, I need to show you that this isn't just Pastor Rich's fancies, that this is truly the word of the Lord. And I've only chosen two of the Old Testament prophets because I want us to understand that there is a depth here. And I'm spanning hundreds and hundreds of years going from Genesis to Daniel, and then to our next one, I'm going to span the entirety of the texts, okay? Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Did something change? Was this mystery still there? Was it at the beginning? Was it in the middle? Well, let's see. From Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Now remember, by this time there had been myriads of kings, okay? And this guy that's king right now was one of the most powerful kings in all the earth. He made this giant statue. Its head was gold, its shoulders were silver, and as it came down, it went from gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay, okay? And it's understanding what these portions all mean. This was a vision given to Daniel, okay? It says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms. But it will itself endure forever. To the glory of God, can we say amen? It will endure forever. What he was talking about there is this kingdom of gold, the first kingdoms that were set up, you know, they were some of the biggest kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom, and then came the next kingdom, which was the Romans, and so on and so forth down through, and we see things getting worse and worse and worse. If back then the last kingdom was the Roman rule or the Assyrian rule, as we know it, it was the Roman rule. If we look at that, where are we today? We're dust. What we see happening right now with the divisions of the people and how they want to make everybody one, okay, we're talking globalism. What does globalism do? Globalism destroys a people because we are not globalists. We are individual peoples. And unless we have that thing which makes us identify with our people groups, you know, this is going to sound sad because it's like, wait a minute, aren't we just one people? We came from Adam and Eve? Yes, but you see, sin has segregated us, and broken people keep breaking. So we want to segregate it even more to the point where what was once a glorious thing, and let's remember, in the beginning, we were one with God. There is no more glorious than that. We have broken it and broken it and broken it. We have gone from the gold to the silver, to the bronze, to the iron, to the clay, and we are but dust. Because man cannot build into holiness. We can only tear down from holiness. And this is the same mystery, because there is one to come who is going to create a kingdom that will unite all peoples. And he will be head over all peoples, and it will last forever. That's his word. Is it a different mystery? No, it's the exact same mystery. But they didn't know when it was to come or where it was to go. So we're a New Testament church, right? We're a New Testament. We're a New Testament church. Okay, let's turn to the New Testament. Everybody go to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Oh my, I'm telling you. Let's go to the coffee chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to Starbucks of heaven. I hate Starbucks coffee. Oh. But everybody knows Starbucks, right? Anyhow, we're in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. And we're going to look at a couple verses here. We're going to start with verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11. And we all know what chapter 11 is, right? Chapter 11 is the chapter on faith. This is the hall of faith, right? The hall of faith. All right. Well, let's see what we have to say here. It says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. You see, folks, in that chapter right there, the author went back through time and spoke of all those prophets, of all those peoples of old who held to this mystery that was being shown to them but could not put it together because it was before their time. But it was the hope, the living hope that we now have. They too had the same living hope. They just didn't understand it the way we should be able to understand it because the cross was before them, not after. Okay? The cross has already happened. We see the cross. We know now by faith what Jesus has done. These people had no idea the cross was coming, but they knew something was coming. This glorious mystery, and it has been revealed to you and I, and it is no longer a mystery, for it can be known. He can be known by name, and there is no name under heaven or earth by which man may be saved except the one name, Jesus. Be all glory, laud, and honor. Amen. You and I stand in this thing that was called out from past. It was the hope then. It is the hope now. And there are people out there who want to find hope. They're hoping in the things of this world. They're hoping in Antifa. They're hoping in Black Lives Matter. They're hoping in a socialistic possibility of the future. They're hoping and they're hoping and they're hoping. They're crossing their fingers and crossing their legs and standing under a rainbow and holding a four-leaf clover. Right? But we hope in our living, risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, who is alive now, ever present in our lives, in our hearts. How many of you right now feel the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to your heart that this is a message of truth and hope? Because, brothers and sisters, He has been revealed to us. We are His. He is ours. We are one with Him. Even now, even though this world looks like it's turning upside down, we have a hope that should make us smile. How many of you smile every morning? How many of you get up and say, "All right, here we go again"? I know I get out of bed and I'm kind of like, "Oh, man." Legs wide apart for a couple of steps, and then they start coming back together. Just wait, you'll get there. Poor Dee Dee. What did I do? But the hope we have is real. These people hoped for it to come. And in their hoping for it to come for us, they carried it along. Do you understand that? They carried it along. They kept the flame going. You know, we do so many things in our world based on a biblical principle. How many of you ever thought that the Olympic torch really represents something that God's been doing since the beginning of time? He has carried the light of hope for each and every one of us through every age, through His people, the church. We have passed that torch on one to another, one to another, one to another, one to another. And that's the mystery, because that flame burns not out here, but in here. That is the flame of the Holy Spirit, the fire of life. And the purifier of our souls. Brothers and sisters, that is a mystery, but it is a truth because it is ours. Look at verses 39 and 40 of the same chapter. 39 and 40 of the same chapter. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You see, dear brothers and sisters, for them, they had to live a perfect life under the law. How many of them succeeded? None of them. But they received a grace, and it's the same grace that we have received. It is the grace of faith that has enabled them to be held until a time when the greater grace would be poured out. And that is the grace that established the church. How many of you here right now can raise your hand and say, "I'm Jewish"? Because you do know that's God's chosen people. And right now there's a lot of people out there in the world who have a hard time with Jewish people. Suck it up, cupcake. They're God's chosen people, and they will be redeemed, and they will have a special place in God's heart. We need to remember that. That cannot be changed. It will not be changed, lest God be found out a liar. Does that mean all the Jews are getting into heaven? No. But we are adopted in to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. And we are adopted in through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the promises therein by faith. For Abraham believed what? By faith. And that's what set him apart. So you see, dear brothers, it's not about being a blood relative. But it's about being a blood relative. The blood of Christ, not the blood of man. You see, the blood of man goes this way, but the blood of Christ goes this way. There's your mystery revealed for all of us to see. That the blood of man spread us out horizontally, but the blood of Christ has brought us vertically in line and in promise with God the Father. And He connects us. And that from the heart, not from anything we've done, but from everything He has done. And you and I stand in that living hope right now. How many of you are so grateful for the living hope that you have? Oh, I'm telling you, it is my all in all. If I didn't have that living hope, if I did not have the Holy Spirit living in me, if I didn't have the hope and the grace, the wonder, the compassions, the mercies of God in my heart, I would have nothing. I would be nothing. None of us would be. We would be self-centered. We would be bigoted. We would be haters of all mankind. Does this sound familiar to anybody? But you see, God revealed Himself to those who has, Jesus said this so many times, to those who have eyes, to those who have ears. But guess what? Aren't we all born with eyes and ears? He wasn't talking about physical eyes, physical ears. He was talking about spiritual eyes that are open to see God. Spiritual ears that are open to hear the Holy Spirit. And that only comes as God has named us before the foundations of the earth. That comes through election. But guess what? Some of us have scales over our eyes, like Paul. And some of us have our ears stopped up. Do you remember the guy that couldn't hear and Jesus stuck his fingers in his ears? Could you imagine that? Some of us need that, okay? We need spiritual Q-tips to get the wax out. We need to put on our spiritual, you're a little foggy right now, to clear up the vision. And that only comes through the living hope, the mystery revealed. These people saw it dimly, had no idea what they were looking into. Do you get that here? They didn't receive the promises, but yet they held out. They held on. What about you? Are you holding on? Have you received everything? How many of us are like, yep, I got it all? No. We're not even there yet. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. I don't know which camera's on me. But we're getting there, slowly, progressively. Because if God were to make us whole and holy in one instance, how much of us would be left? Absolutely nothing. Aren't you glad He takes His time? It amazes me how much time is in this book. This is the world. This is our epochs. This one book. All of time is recorded in it. And we look at a human life of 80-some years, possibly, and we say, oh, I want it now. Wait a minute. It took Him this long to get us this far. Hold your horses. Don't run out of the gate just yet. God has a plan and a purpose, and His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And we need to remember that the hope we have is something that those men, those women of old held on to and passed it down through the generations. We serve a God of delayed gratification, not instification. I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounded good. And we need to remember that this living hope is still yet a mystery to us. Because yes, we know Jesus has come. We know that He is in heaven. But we also know that he is yet to come again. How many of you know when that day is? How many of you know when that's going to come? You know, is it going to be on a Sunday or a Monday? Is it going to be a Tuesday? Is it going to be in the spring or in the summer? Is it going to be when I'm in bed sleeping? Or am I going to be wide awake standing outside and all of a sudden there he is, wah! We don't know. It is yet a mystery to us. And we need to pass that on. And that leads me to my final scripture for today. Turn one chapter, chapter 12. Oh, gee, I don't even have to turn. It's already there. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I closed my Bible, so I got to get back to it. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. I love God's word. Because in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of this world, and in the midst of us not knowing, because we don't know everything. You know, I think it's funny. When we were 14 and 15, we told our parents, we know what's going on. I'm 57, and I'm not too afraid to tell you, I have no idea what's going on. But let us hold fast to the word. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Brothers and sisters, that is our living hope. Jesus is resurrected. He is in heaven. He is waiting for the proper time to come back and save us all who would believe. Amen. It is our job to continue in that living hope, even to this day, and bringing that hope to those who do not know him. And for those who are out there and you want this living hope, I pray you will pray with me this prayer right now. Lord God, I am a sinner, and I ask that you would forgive my sin. Lord Jesus, cover me. Come into my heart. Make me whole and wholly thine. For the living hope of your love and your life, I desire to be, because it's a surrender of me and an arrival of you. Lord Jesus, save my soul. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to know it. If you out here prayed that prayer today in a recommitment, I want to know it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the only way we have the living hope is to pray those prayers on a continual basis, that we would be changed by the ever-loving grace of God, that we may continue as these did, shedding off the things, running with perseverance that race. I want you to think about the original scriptures that we looked at, and it ends with, in 1 Peter, and the angels long to look into these things. Do you know why the angels long to look into them? Because they cannot fathom grace. If an angel falls, what happens to them? They're done. They are done. A fallen angel becomes demonic. That happened one time. It'll never happen again. Once they fell, it was done. And we now have the demonic and the heavenly, all right? So the angels look at this and they're like, wait a minute, these people fall and fall and fall and fall, and grace Oh, the love of God and what it affords us. And the mystery continues. This is almost a Steven Spielberg. No. The original author is so much better. Because in the awesomeness of God, he has told us the end of the story. And we will be with him for all eternity. But unto that end, we have work to do. May we be about it. And may your living hope keep you and guide you, for there are yet things to discover. It is yet that living mystery in all our lives. How many of you can't wait till tomorrow to see how God is going to lead you into a new hope? It's the same hope, but it's a new day, every day, just as God is fresh and new every day. Let us pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you for the grace and glory that you give each and every one of us. And Lord, as we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts for the living hope that you have given us. A mystery revealed, but yet a mystery, because we do not know when the end will come and we're not finished yet either. So Lord, continue to work it out in us. And keep us enthralled by your love, drawing us ever forward into the living hope that surrounds us. Because, Lord, in it, we find you fresh and new every day. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.